If you want to keep your Bibles open there in the book of Philippians and turn back to chapter 1 and verse 3 in just a moment, we will take our lesson from Paul's prayer. You know, a lot of negative things happened in the life of Paul, but he always remained positive. That's a sermon in and of itself. When things are going bad around us, to remain positive like the Apostle Paul, what a great attitude. And we're going to learn this morning from his positive, confident attitude for our lesson and our admonition. It's good to be with you this morning. It's a privilege to be able to spend some time with you in God's Word, to have another day, a breath of life that God gives us. I guess as we get older, we get a little bit more sentimental. We get to be thinking about, you know, what a privilege it is just to have another day. And we think about things like that, and to live in a country that allows us to have the freedom to assemble in an unmolested fashion and to worship our God. What a great privilege that is. And I hope for the next few minutes that I will have something to say from God's Word that will encourage you. I'm glad you're here. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul was always praying for others. That's a great lesson as well for us. Always praying for others, and he's doing this in a Roman prison. He's writing this in a Roman prison. At the end of the book of Acts, he's in a Roman prison for 2 years, and he writes what we call the four prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. He's not sitting there in his cell, sulking and with his head hung down low, woe is me. He's writing letters. Luke tells us at the end of Acts, he is receiving brethren in and out. He's preaching the kingdom of God, even to the Roman guards. The book of Philippians tells us that the whole Praetorian Guard heard the gospel. He's not sitting there moping. He's doing the Lord's work. And he's also praying. And in Philippians 1 and verse 3, I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you always in every supplication of mine on behalf of you all, making my supplication with joy for your fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel from the first day until now. Even in Roman prison, he's furthering the gospel. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is what we want to talk about this morning, that Paul had confidence. And he had confidence in something, and this something is the subject of our lesson this morning. And Paul says that I'm confident that he, God, who began a good work in you will, some versions say, completed. Friends and brethren, I'm here to tell you this morning that God will complete His work in you if you will let Him do that. The word here means to complete or to finish. If you will let it, God has a work going on in your life, your personal life, not the person beside you, you. You personally, God is trying to do something in you. And Paul prays with confidence that he will complete that work. If I didn't say anything else and we stood and sang the invitation song, that right there would be hopefully enough to encourage us to be living right. We will flesh out the details of that. But just stop and think about that. This morning, I want us to see what it was that made Paul so confident. You know, we live in a world today where so many people are lacking confidence about this or that. I'm afraid our young people are woefully behind in a good dosage of confidence. Everything shakes them and bothers them and concerns them and depresses them and you know, stresses them. We need confidence that there is a God and that we're living right in the sight of God. And Paul had this confidence. Let's see what it was that made him so confident. In verse 6, Paul's confidence surrounds he who began a good work, God. And then he says, in you. We're going to learn this morning that Paul was confident because of three things about God himself. Paul says that he began a good work and you will complete it. There's some things about God and his work that is going on that gave Paul confidence. And then he says, in you. You know, there's a lot of things that God is doing in the world today, but do you know that much of it is going on right inside of you right now? You know, I didn't realize that when I was younger. I thought, well, you know, God, he created all things. You know, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then, you know, providence and things like that. He's out there doing some stuff. I wasn't thinking about what's going on right in here. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. There's all kinds of works of God. There's all kinds of things that he's doing and answering people's prayers. And there's all kinds of things that are going on that we don't even know about. Do you know that he's doing a work in you right now? And tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. And Paul says, I'm confident that God is going to complete that work. But we're going to see how that takes place this morning. What encouragement that should give us this morning, and what confidence. To go out and live this week in Clarksville. So let's look at this great passage of Scripture, Philippians 1 and verse 6. The first thing that we learn about God from this text is that God has a work. He who began a good work in you. We learn a lesson this morning on God's work. And that work that God is doing, as I've just mentioned, is a work in us. Phil, can you put that box back up on top of the counter, the box that receives the little black box? Yeah. Thank you. I think we're having trouble. There you go. Well, we can blame it on the Clorox wipes. Don't put the Clorox wipes in front of the little black box. I think that's better. I like that. We might actually get done with the sermon this morning. That's good. Or you can put it back and we can be here for an hour. Choice is yours. Look at the text. God began a good work in them. Notice, first of all, when was that? Well, Paul was in Philippi in Acts chapter 16, and he preached the gospel. He was there with Silas, and they preached the gospel. And Lydia and her household are converted, and the jailer and his household are baptized into Christ. And that's when the good work began. Do you know that when you became a Christian, God began a good work in you? And we are. Paul says in another place, another prison epistle, Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. When we were baptized into Christ, Paul began a work in us. Yes, he has all kinds of other works going on outside of us that don't involve us. But this morning we're thinking about what he's trying to do in us. Maybe sometimes we forget that. He's trying to do something in us. And it's a good work. And it's called a good work because it involves getting us out of sin. It involves maturing us to become a better Christian. It involves making us, as Daniel mentioned about Romans 12, 1 and 2, becoming more like him and in his image every day. That's why it's a good work. It's taking a human being that is otherwise in sin and turning them around to become a great human being serving the Lord. And that's you. But Paul says that he who began a good work in you will perfect it, will complete it, or will finish it. There's more to be done. As we'll see in just a minute, there's more to be done than going down into the waters of baptism. That's where it begins. And if that needs to begin there for you this morning, let me encourage you to do that. We have some water right here. And that good work can begin right now. But if you've done that, we've got to continue on until Jesus comes again. Paul says, until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the second coming. So first of all, we learn that God has a work that is going on. And it's the work of becoming a Christian and remaining a faithful Christian. And it's a work that is in you, Paul says. Now, if one of you fellows this morning want to take this and make a good sermon out of it, have at it. I don't have time this morning to explore this. So you work it up. God works for us, Paul says. Talking about what he does to benefit us for our good, Romans 8. God works in us. That's what we're going to focus on this morning. God works with us, speaking of cooperation and fellowship, and God works through us. Do you know that God wants to work through you in Clarksville? The Almighty God of the universe who can do anything He wants, He's got the power to do it all. He wants to work through you. He wants to use the instrumentation of Don Rademacher or Linda Hensley or everybody else. He wants to work through you. Stop to think about that. We kind of think, well, God's kind of out there doing some work. No, He's trying to work in me. And that's a game changer. When I realize that God's trying to work in me and through me. And this morning we're going to focus on that inward part. The in me means influence. God works in us. He's trying to influence us. That's where we get influenced, to literally to flow in. To let God flow in us. Not in some mysterious, mystical way. We'll see how in a minute. But Paul says, God who began a good work in you. Something's going on inside of us. And we've got to let God finish that work. Well, then that raises the question, how? Well, we're going to see how later in the book of Philippians, but we could also illustrate it by turning over, if you'll hold your hand here, and turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's the same way that he worked in the Thessalonians and everybody else in the first century. And that is, Paul says that you received from us the word of the message, even the word of God, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also works in you that believe. Underscore in your Bible that last part, you that believe. It doesn't say it works in you, period. It works in you that believe. When you really believe the word of God, it works in you. I mean, really believe it. Not just read it to fill out a lesson for Bible class or casually look at it or post a scripture up on the refrigerator. I mean, we actually believe it and follow it and obey it. It works in us. That's the how. So we learn, Paul says, that there is a God who is at work. And yeah, boy, he is at work in a lot of other ways. He holds up this entire universe, and at any moment he can let it go. He's got a lot of work going on, but one of those works is in you and in me. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21. When we allow God's word to be in us and we truly believe it, and then we go out and practice it, making you perfect in every good thing. Again, this idea of completion. Look at this. to do His will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Notice the statement in Hebrews 13:21 that doing His will is how He is working in us. Again, it's not some mystical, mysterious kind of thing. Well, do I kind of feel inside that God is in me? No. When His Word is in my heart and mind, and I truly believe it, and I go out and I practice it, God is working in me. And so we learn this morning a great lesson about God, and that is that He's working. And true Christianity is first and foremost internal. God working in you. It's not external. For example, in contrast to that, the Pharisees, for example, that Jesus often confronted, with them it was external. The clothes that they wear, and they're standing out on the street corner, and everybody look at me, and I'm going up into the temple to pray. The Pharisee and the sinner, the publican, Luke 18, and look at me, I'm up here praying. It was all about external types of stuff. And Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount and in Matthew 23 was always trying to get them back to the internal. It's got to start from the inside out. You've got to be right from the inside out. Brethren, Christianity is not about, well, I go down to that Warfield Boulevard building three times a week, and so, hey, I'm good to go. No, it starts from the inside out. We need to be here. That is a part of our serving Christ. But the external things that sometimes people place in the Christianity category are not what it's about. It's about God working in me each and every day, not just on Sundays and Wednesday nights. So number one, God has a work to do. And number two, Paul says that there's a lesson here about God's character. In Philippians 1 and verse 6, Paul was confident that God who began a good work will perfect it. That's a lesson in God's character. God completes what He starts, unlike human individuals who start something and they don't finish it. Well, I'll start marriage, but I won't finish it. I'll start this, but I won't finish that. God starts things and He finishes things. It's a lesson in His character. All of His works are perfect and complete. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. And it's no different when it comes to developing the man and the woman in Christ. His character is such that He finishes what He starts. He's faithful. He can be trusted to finish the job. Have you ever noticed anybody, those of you in the workforce, have you ever worked with anybody whom the boss could not trust to finish the job? You finish, but your co-workers often do not, and then they throw their work on you. God's not like that. And in chapter 4 and verse 19, Paul says that He will supply every need of yours. He is there to make sure you get finished. We're not finished when we come up out of the waters of baptism. That's the beginning of the process. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We're not finished. But God will complete His work in you, if you will let it. And what a great character that is. And it gives us certainty and it gives us confidence. That's why Paul said in verse 6, being confident of this very thing. You may remember some of the slides that I showed you from being in Ghana last August. Everywhere, buildings have gotten started, but they're not finished. Someone had a little money to start the building, and they're not done. And rebar is sticking up all over town. They just build up a few feet, and then the rebar is sticking out. And I'm asking, well, what's going on here? Well, we can't finish it. Everywhere. People start things, and they don't finish it. And I'm not faulting them. Much of that in their situation is an economic situation. They may not have the money to finish it. But God's not like that. And so we're given confidence and assurance that He will complete in that if we'll let Him. And then the last lesson that Paul says with regard to God is that God has a plan. You know people who get up every day and they don't even have a plan. They don't know what's going on. God is not like that. God is plan-oriented. He's goal-oriented. He's project-oriented. And He has a good work that He has for you, and He is going to finish that. And so He's got a plan and a design, and it's not for us to stay a babe in Christ. It's for us to grow and mature. And we've spoken recently about some of our new converts, and all of us at one time were new converts. The plan is you've got to be getting out of that babe stage and immature stage. There is a time for that, just like naturally. Naturally, in a child, there's a time to be a babe, okay? There's a time to be a little toddler. There's a time to be a little child. But after a point, like Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. You've got to grow past some things. And God has a plan for us to get from immature to mature. He wants to complete that in us, and we've got one lifetime to do it. And the older I get, the more I realize, yeah, you better get to work. And let's be mindful of that. We're a major part of that plan. Let us be growing toward that goal. Because Jesus is coming again. And that's the terminus point of all of this. The day of Jesus Christ. There will be no time after that to obey the gospel. There will be no time after that to grow more and complete the plan. That'll be it. And we don't know when that day is. So we learn three lessons about God. That He has a work going on, and it's right inside of you. Number two, His character is such that He will complete that. And number three, He has a plan to get you from point A to point B. Now, look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. That Paul says that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's spend some time now in other parts of the book of Philippians where Paul is now going to talk about the in you part. He's talked about the God part. Now he's going to talk about in other places the in you part. And you know where it's going to start? Right in verse 7. Right in verse 7. And we'll come back to that in just a minute. This plan of God that he will complete, first of all, requires that Christians continue to be obedient. God cannot complete His work in us if we do not be obedient. That's why Levi this morning read Philippians 2, 12 through 13. God will complete His work, but it requires Christians continuing to be obedient. So let's look at a few passages. Turn with me to chapter 1 and verse 27. As you're turning over to chapter 1 and verse 27, I just wanted to make a comment that this morning's lesson is not a review of Calvinism, but I wanted you to know that chapter 1 and verse 6 is a very big Calvinist passage. They read it all the time. They say, see, once God begins a good work in you, He'll complete it. Once saved, always saved. If Paul had been teaching that, he certainly didn't realize it in the rest of the letter. Because in the rest of the letter, he says, no, you have to, it's conditioned upon your faithfulness and your obedience that God completes this work. But notice, for example, in chapter 1 and verse 27, what is it going to take for God to complete this work? Well, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel, that whether I come and see you or be absent, that I may hear of your state, that you stand fast in one spirit with one soul, striving for the faith of the gospel. You have to strive for the faith of the gospel. And then the next verse, you can't be frightened by the adversaries. And then you come down to chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. You have to obey, not in my presence only, but much more, work out your own salvation. That's how God is completing His work in you. He'll do His part. Paul says, I'm confident that God's going to finish His part. But you Christians, You have to be striving for the faith of the gospel. You have to be obeying. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Look at verse 13. For it is God who works in you. That's exactly the same thing as chapter 1 and verse 6. 12:13 is the same as 1:6. God working in you. But notice how it's joined to verse 12. You working out your own salvation. You've got to be obedient. That's how God will complete His work in you. Look at chapter 2, verse 17. I'm being offered up on the sacrifice and service of your faith. You have to keep sacrificing. You have to keep serving the Lord. And God will finish His work in you. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Wherefore, my beloved, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord. Well, that's how God will complete His good work in you. You've got to stay faithful. Look at verse 9. These things do. You've got to be obedient. And so the first lesson that we learn is, yes, God will complete His work, but Christians must continue to obey. That's how God continues and will finish His work in us. When we work along with Him, it's the human instrumentality. It's cooperation with God. Chapter 2, 12, us, verse 13, God. We work together. We're working out our own salvation. He's working in us. We're doing it together, and God will complete His work. But He can't do that, brethren, if we're not obedient. Paul doesn't say in Philippians 1:6 that I'm confident that He will complete His work regardless of how you live. That's not what he said. And in the rest of the letter, he tells the brethren what they need to be doing so that God can complete His work in them. Let's go out this morning with renewed zeal and strength to be obedient. Because God is trying to work in us. And when we resist Him and when we say no, turn with me to our scripture reading again, and I want to focus on chapter 2, verse 13. I want to focus on two things here. Chapter 2, 13, God works in you. We already discussed how that happens. He influences us when we believe His word and when we obey it. But look at 2:13. God who works in you, look at this, both to will and to work. Look at those two things. Separate those two things. God is working in us to do two things. To will, that has to do with attitude, and to work. Which of those two things, or both, do I need? That's what we need to be asking ourselves this morning. You know, some folks have a will problem. They have an attitude problem. Other folks are lazy. They have a work problem. They need to get up and get to work. Others might have both an attitude and a action problem. But you've got attitude and action. You've got will and you've got work. And God is trying to work in us to increase both of those things. What is it this morning that I need to change? Attitude, action, or both? I need to let God be working in me to affect my attitude and my actions, my will and my work. But what else is next? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7. What's the second lesson that we can learn about true Christianity? Well, first of all, it takes obedience, and secondly, it takes growth. I've got to be willing to grow if I want God to work in me and complete His work. Christians must grow and continue to allow God to mold and make them. Look at chapter 1 and verse 7. Just keep reading in the prayer here. Even as it is right for me to be thus minded, That is this confidence that he has on behalf of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, Roman imprisonment, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. Look at this. For God is my witness how I long after you all in the tender mercies of Christ. And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Look at that. Just a few verses earlier, God will complete his work in you. But what is it going to take on their part? Well, obedience. And number two, growth. Their love needed to abound more and more. We can't be stagnant. We can't get to the point and say, well, I'm at a level in my Christianity where I'm good. I'm good. There needs to be abounding or excelling. And then he says, in knowledge, there's our Bible study and Bible reading and Bible learning. And then in all discernment, the application of what I've learned, making a distinction between right and wrong and the applications of God's Word in my life, thinking critically, thinking carefully. Well, I see all throughout the day, I see stuff on my phone, feeds and blogs and stuff coming up. Well, I'm taking God's Word. And I'm thinking critically and carefully about that. I don't just take everything that shows up on my phone. But notice growth. Verse 9. More and more in knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent. Literally, make a distinction between right and wrong, that you may be sincere and void of offense unto the day of Christ. Look at verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. We're going to keep obeying. We're going to keep bearing fruit. Growth is necessary for God to complete His work in me. The one place where this word that was used back up in chapter 1 and verse 6, the one place where it's used elsewhere in the New Testament to deal with matters of salvation is in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Perfecting or completing holiness in the fear of God. Every day, I'm moving farther and farther away from sin and closer to God. And that's how He is finishing His work in me. So number two, it takes growth. Turn with me to chapter 3. We see this even in the Apostle Paul himself. Look at this idea of growth. He had become a Christian and left the past life behind. His conversion is the subject of a good part of the first part of chapter 3, his conversion. But Paul didn't say, well, you know, I put on Christ, so I'm just going to drift the rest of my life. No. I count not, verse 13, myself to have laid hold, yet to have laid hold. But one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal. Very familiar verse. I press on toward the goal. What is that? Growth. If the Apostle Paul can say that toward the end of his life, and in the other prison epistle in Philemon, he describes himself as the aged Paul. If Paul can do that as the aged Paul, I can probably do that too. If Paul can keep growing, I can too. I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But here's the kicker, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. What minded? What he had just said, to press on and to grow. We all need to have that mindset. Greater in my attendance. Greater in my Bible study. Greater in my good works that I'm doing toward my brethren and others. More pressing on, abounding. And God, little by little, finishes His work in us. And then last of all, Paul says it's going to take a third thing. It's going to take obedience, it's going to take growth, and it's going to take the right attitude. God cannot work in me with the wrong attitude. God will complete His work in us when Christians have the proper attitude of life. Attitude is all throughout this book. In chapter 2, in verse 5, Paul says, have the mind. The New American Standard says, attitude of Christ. God cannot work in me with a Chris Reeves attitude in Chris Reeves. God cannot work in me with a worldly attitude or a humanistic or secular attitude. I have to have the attitude of Christ, which in that context of chapter 2 was an attitude of humility and obedience. But look with me at chapter 4. Let's look at a few attitudes in chapter 4. Number 1, the attitude of unity. Iodikon, Syntyche, be of the same mind. God can complete His work when I'm a person who wants to work with others. Joy, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. God cannot work in me when I'm unhappy and angry and depressed and mad. Look at verse 5, forbearance, patience, not quick-tempered. Forbearance. Verse 6, in nothing be anxious. God cannot work in me when I'm worrying all the time and anxious and stressed and strained. He can't work in me. The attitude of prayer and supplication. The attitude of thanksgiving. Verse 6, trust. There's your prayer. And supplication. And I'm not going to be anxious and worry. I'm going to trust. That's Matthew 6 when Jesus said, on more than one occasion there, don't worry, don't be anxious, don't be anxious. It was in the context of trusting God. He'll take care of you. Attitude is very important for God to complete His work in us. Look at verse 7 through 9. Peace, peace. God cannot work in my life when I'm stressed and strained. God cannot work in my life when I'm not thinking properly. Look at verse 8. Things that are noble and dignified and honorable. When my mind is in the gutter, God cannot work in me. He cannot complete His work in me when my mind is in the gutter. Look at verse 8. I need to think about things that are pure and lovely and honorable and what is of good report, honest and just and right. That's, my mind needs to be on a higher plane. And those things that get my mind down in the gutter of the world, I don't need to be thinking about those things. And then last of all, verse 11, contentment. Which for us as Americans who have so much, that's a difficult lesson to learn. But when I'm always disgruntled, and when I'm always unhappy, and when I'm always unthankful, and when I'm always complaining, and when I'm never content, and I'm never happy with this and happy with that, God cannot work in my life and complete His work. So last of all, attitude is necessary. As we close this morning, I ask the question of you and of myself, will you let God begin and complete His work in you? What a confident, encouraging statement Philippians 1:6 is, that we can walk out knowing that He who began a good work in you, and we're all thinking about that day. I can remember the day that I went down into that cold fall, Kokomo, Indiana, water without a heater in it. We all look back on that day that God began a good work in you. To have that confidence knowing that He will complete it if I'll continue to be obedient, if I'll continue to grow, and I'll continue to have the Christian attitude that I need to have. Maybe you're here this morning and that good work has not begun in you. We would encourage you. I can help you. I'll assist you down into that water. And I would love to do that this morning. And God will begin a good work in you. There may be someone here this morning as a child of God that needs to come back in some way along the way. Either disobedience, lack of growth, and a bad attitude has stifled God's work in your life, and you want to make that change, we can help you as well. But let's go out knowing inside of us that great work is going on, and let us be prepared for that. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. Phil is working on getting that ready. is it let him have his way with thee, Daniel? So, isn't that really what it's all about? Letting God have his way in our life. And his character is such that he'll finish it. Let's live in such a way to let him do that. Why won't you come as we stand and sing, let him have his way with you.